Doing today? Sunshine. What's the temperature? 41. Okay. It's a contest today. We're seeing if the temperature and the wind will be at the same level, you know. 41. So when you do go out, if you're parked up here, kind of be careful when you open that door, because it has a wind assist that will jerk your right arm out of the socket. And apparently it's doing that downstairs too. So just kind of word to the wise. Huh? Or you can't get in. Yeah.
Oh.
Wait a minute. Who we got here? Okay. All right. It is somebody we know. Okay. Look over the bulletin. I think most of this information's there. Do have missionary coming up on March 6th. So it isn't a complete surprise. I'm not saying it is. I haven't got a chance to talk to people to see if this is a go, but I was thinking it. Maybe we could have a potluck on the 6th when they're here. That way they're around a little while longer. People get to talk with them a little bit longer, you know. But we'll tell you for sure next week. So, but I need to talk with whoever's going to be in the kitchen for next month, see if that might work. I thought about doing that on the next one, but it's the end of April, but that's like the next Sunday after Easter, and we've done one on Easter, so... Yeah, right. Okay. Anyway, okay, so I guess we're all tuned up, ready to sing. Might pray for Patty, having some sleep issues. Pray for Mike Soto, not feeling good. Doesn't quite know what he's dealing with there, but didn't sound real good here on the phone yesterday. So I'm sure that they would appreciate it. And if you think of it, you might pray for our friend Sue there in Des Moines. Had the operation this last Wednesday. Been kind of a rough recovery here so far, but that is kind of to be expected there. So, but okay, ready to sing here. Number 26, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God.
Well, good morning, everyone. Remember to look around you. If you see any strangers, give them a hearty greeting, because remember, strangers are nothing more than best friends you haven't met. And Margie, when he gets a little bit older, I know the perfect gift for him. Lincoln logs. Okay, if you'd like to stand, we'll sing hymn number 26, first, second, and fourth verse. Onward, Christian Soldier, and we'll sing the first, second, and fourth verses, please.
Verse 4.
Christian soldiers. Kind of looks like we're in a war, doesn't it? You don't have to be in Ukraine or Ottawa. Isn't that where it's at? So, okay. Continue to pray. I saw a picture today of the people in Ukraine outside of a city kneeling in the snow. Praying for their country, you know, and a lot of people are going to get hurt in that if it pans out the way they're, way it's looking like. So, all right, well, let's pray. Thank the Lord for His goodness to us and for Your gifts. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your goodness to us. Thank You for the sunshine. Thank You for the bit warmer weather here. Thank You, Lord, that we can see some grass out there instead of snow up to the windows. We do pray that You continue to give strength there to Mike Soto. Help him be feeling better here soon. Pray You'll continue to help Patty to be get some rest. Others that may not be feeling well that we're not aware of. We pray for Marilyn as she's getting these shots in her knee to help deal with the pain. Another one coming up here on Monday. Pray that might continue to help her. And for her friend Sue there in Des Moines, we pray You'll continue to help her have a good recovery from the surgery this past Wednesday. Lord, we thank You for the way that You do provide for us. There's no exception clauses in Your word. You promised to help meet our needs, whatever they might be. And there's no exception, well, unless there's high inflation or whatever else that sometimes we look at as a problem in our lives. We do pray that You'll guide us in our time here together through the songs, through the study of Your word today. Pray You'll continue to give safety for Tyler's mom and dad as they head back to Minnesota today. Give them journey mercies. Others that are traveling, we pray that You keep them safe. And we'll thank You now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let's look at, we haven't sung this one for a while. I don't know. I adjust these things and then the sun moves. Oh, I guess that's a different one. Okay, well, maybe, I think you can see it. We'll find out. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Okay, press on. Okay, don't give up. Hang in there. All right? This is a few slides here on this one. We'll have one after that. Okay? To a place, yeah. Okay, one more. We got a. Well, I guess you could sit in the pew and lean, but we'll stand up and do it. Sing it through twice. These maybe your window. I have to go out and smear a little mud on the window. I'm getting reflection. Yeah, maybe. John, could you get that one? Or okay, somebody. Yeah. I know y'all enjoy that sparkle in my eye, but okay. Oh, as we're praying for people, it's always a danger trying to keep up with. Who's on the list, but pray for Tyler here today. He's not doing so well, okay? So, all right. That's little Tyler. We have little Tylers and big Tylers, okay? Okay, all right. Well, we're going to be looking today at a couple places, but you might look to Ephesians chapter 6 here, and then we'll eventually end up over that way. Okay. Most of us probably couldn't imagine things. I don't know if you've seen anything on television or online or something about what's going on there in Canada. Who could imagine that kind of a truck rally would turn into police coming in with their clubs and horses and stomping people and so on. Bad news. So, you know, sometimes we don't really know the danger that we're in. We don't see it up close. We don't see it personal. And it's there nevertheless. We're talking about spiritual warfare here today. An example of this I found, a true story. And don't know the exact person that it was referring to, but we'll call him Steve here for the day. And he was taking a trip on an airplane, and he noticed a man sitting two seats over from him, thumbing through some little cards and moving his lips. And the man looked kind of like a professor. He had a little goatee and graying hair. And so Steve Thought he was probably around 50-something. Guessing the man was a fellow believer. And so Steve leaned over to him and tried to get him involved in a conversation. Says, looks to me like you're memorizing something, he said. No, actually I'm praying, the man said. Well, Steve introduced himself and says, I believe in prayer too. The other one fellow responded, well, I have a specific assignment. And he asked, well, what is that? He said, I'm praying for the downfall of Christian pastors. And Steve said, well, I would fit into that category. Is my name on your list? He says, no, not on my list. Well, it's hard to imagine, but it's true. There are people in the United States as well as other places in the world that really would like to see the doors shut and vacant churches. They have no use for them. They're a problem. They should be done away with. And we may see some laws before we're done that will not be friendly towards churches. We've seen it to Canada north of us, locking churches, locking people out of their churches because they wouldn't all put on their mask or the pastor wouldn't give the line that the government was wanting them to parrot. And that's just round one, folks. It's not over with yet. These politicians have got a taste of power, and they like it. They're going to be looking for more reasons to do similar things. And spiritual warfare, we need to identify it. We need to recognize what it is. If we don't recognize spiritual warfare, we're liable to be overwhelmed and tempted to give up, throw in the towel, say it's too big of a fight for me to be involved in. One way to identify spiritual warfare is when the adversary takes the form of three things, and we'll touch on them a little more as we go along today, but confusion, suspicion, or division. And we see that Satan, the old serpent, caused suspicion in the very beginning there with Eve towards God in Genesis chapter 3. And we see that he brought about a division between God and man there also in Genesis 3. And Satan uses those same tricks today. Why? Because they work. And we need to be alert to them so that we don't get tricked. He wants to divide up people in what they're doing. And if you're not one of the sheep following the marching orders of the government, you're liable to be labeled as a domestic terrorist, like parents who went to school board meetings because they didn't want their kids being taught critical race theory, or they didn't want their children to be taught that, well, yeah, you may be born as a boy or a girl, but you don't have to live that way. You can change if you want. And we can change your name here at school. Just don't tell Mom and Dad. We'll call you Johnny and Susie, whether no matter what Mom and Dad call you at home. We need to be alert. We need to recognize what's going on. And some don't follow the news. And I don't know how you can not follow the news. How can you know what to pray for if you don't know what's going on in the world? And but the thing is, this isn't just something that's happened in 2022 or in the last couple of years. This is going on back in that first century, as we see there in Ephesians chapter 6. We see here that the devil was strutting his stuff, and he was causing a lot of problems back then as well. And we see in in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, the Lord tells us that we need to put our armor on, our spiritual armor. We're in a spiritual battle. We're in a spiritual war. It's not a make-believe. It's not a science fiction kind of thing. It's real, folks. You may not be able to reach out and touch some of this stuff, but it's there nevertheless. He says there in Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the wiles or the trickery of the devil. Now, we aren't today going to study all the different pieces of armor, but he tells us that we need to put this armor on. And a good part of that comes from the Word of God. We need to be equipped. And we're weak in and of ourselves. We need God's help in this. And there's many battles to be fought. We're not too far away from this, so you might hold your place here in Ephesians and look back with me, if you would, to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. He says, be sober, okay? Not just not drunk, but to be sober, to be thinking straight. Be vigilant, because your adversary, who's our adversary? The devil, okay? As a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So we see here he identifies our adversary as the devil. We'll talk more about that as we go along. But we want to see here today that adversity that comes into our lives, and it comes in different forms, helps to show us that we are at war, okay? Again, it's not make-believe, but sometimes we got the idea that it's with other men and women, or it's situations or circumstances. But the spiritual battle we need to see here is with unseen powers. Again, that seems kind of, all right, fuzzy out there. We need to realize there's a whole lot more going on in this world than just what we see. And it's unseen powers. And we need God's help if we're going to win the battle. And that we're not overtaken by discouragement. I have to remind myself of that every now and again. I won't go into any details on that. But from time to time, I'll get some, we'll just say not good email texts. You know, it's things that people won't have courage to say to your face, but they'll text you stuff, you know, and amazing. It's usually on a Saturday night, you know, just to kind of mess up your head. It kind of rattles around in there a while, you know, and I have to ask the Lord for help to replace that with something good, right? And the thing is, we have to be alert. We have to be careful that we aren't just focusing in on outward circumstances of the adversity. Sometimes all we see is the problem. We've got tunnel vision, and all we see is this problem. And there's really a whole lot more to it than that. And that realize that we're dealing with unseen powers. And as you study the Word of God, we see here that let's back up a little bit and talk about adversity. Most of you have been in on these studies for a little bit, but not everybody. And we've seen here, there in 1 Peter, that God points out that Satan is our adversary. And he comes on like a flood. And he brings destruction with him. And so we need to realize who the enemy really is. Notice there, if you're back in Ephesians 6, verse 12, he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Okay? Our battle is not with other people. Okay? It's not with flesh and blood, but with principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And, the battle lies here. And he says, we do battle with principalities and powers. It's with unseen powers. And it's possible, though, for us, for our attention, to get focused in on the circumstances, or maybe focused in on people. We can have all kinds of problems. And that becomes our sole focus. Maybe it's money problems. Maybe it's on people. individuals that we cross paths with, friends, family, coworkers, people at school, workplace, whatever. And we're starting to put names and faces on the problem and the trial. And it's that person that's the problem in my life. And if it wasn't for so-and-so, my life would be a whole lot better. And so, again, example. Let's just say, take this for an example here. Maybe it's your problem person is the bank loan officer. Maybe you're wanting to buy a house or something else, and they've said no. And again, there you look at this person, and you're the one that's causing me the financial problems. Or maybe it's your supervisor at work that seems to have a beef with you and just kind of taking it out on you, giving you a bad time. Or it's some other situation that you're dealing with. Or you go to the gas pump. Okay, have you seen that? You know, don't you love it? Just watching them numbers. Ding! But there's no prize at the end. It just says, empty your wallet, you know? And there's some stickers out there that somebody's having some fun with. It's got a picture of our president. And it's an arrow, and he's pointing at the price, and it says, I did that. Yeah, well, it has went up. It's doubled in price. And we won't go into all the reasons for that, but you start shutting down pipelines and stuff like that. It does have an effect, okay? But granted, there might be a way of seeing, that's my problem, you know? And that can be a problem in and of itself. We mislabel what our real problem is, okay? And we see that we need to see that there's a whole lot more to it than just the outward evidence. That may just be a symptom, okay? Like some of you guys that had COVID. Got a real bad cough. Well, it's not just the cough that's a problem. It's all the other junk going on inside, all right? And sometimes we see symptoms, but that's not the real problem. I don't know if I've shared this one with you before. If I have, forgive me, but I thought it was funny. His clothes were getting too tight, and he was blaming it on the dryer that shrinks his clothes, okay? Have you ever done that? I don't want my clothes in the dryer anymore. I'm going to hang them up. It's shrinking my clothes. Well, it turns out that it wasn't appliance that was the problem, but it wasn't the washer or the dryer. It was the refrigerator. And so you have to identify what the real problem is here, okay? And there might be people in your life that are making life, let's just say, challenging a little bit. But rather branding them as the problem, we need to see that Satan can actually be behind this. Okay? Now, I'm not pointing to everybody that's a problem in your life. There's Satan. I'm not saying. He can be behind people. All right? And as somebody has said to me more than once, Satan's messing with us. Okay? Now, I don't want to give Satan any more credit than where it's due, okay? Often, though, he does use other people to do his dirty work. He does use people. And I think very often they don't realize that they're being used of Satan to accomplish his evil work. They're kind of like acting undercover. And they're messing with your life. They're messing with your mind. They're messing with your heart in many different ways. And as I've mentioned, as believers, Satan cannot take away our salvation. Once we've placed our faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for our salvation, and he's forgiven us of our sin, there's no way that that's ever taken away from us. We can't lose our salvation. We may lose a lot of other stuff, okay? Where are my keys? You know, where's my glasses? You know, it's where's my phone? You know, yeah, we lose all kinds of stuff, but your salvation is not one of them. So he can't take that away from us, but he can get us so distracted with stuff going on around us that we're ready to give up. You know, life's think pressure's coming in on us. We're so distracted. Our attention shifted away from the Lord onto all these other things or people. And we're not moving ahead in our Christian life. And I look at it as kind of being shifted into neutral. And we're just kind of coasting. And maybe not very fast. And he can mess with us. He can discourage us from doing what God wants us to do. That's the best he can do. But folks, he's going to work really hard at trying to get that accomplished in your life. And yet, for those who trusted Christ as Savior, you are a child of God. You will always be. That will never change. But we are still going to face adversity, trials, difficulties in this life. Okay? Pressures, stress, whatever you want to call it. And as we've seen for the previous six, I think this is number seven, that God has a variety of plans and purposes for allowing that adversity to come into our lives. It's not wasted. He can use that for his own plans and goals. And we need to realize that he allows these things to come into our lives. He loves us. And so he's only going to allow what's ultimately for our best to come into our lives. Now, if it was up to us, we'd probably say, I could live without that. But he said, no, there's something you can learn here. And it might not be a fun lesson to learn, but God can allow these things to take place in our lives. And again, God has purposes behind it. He doesn't always send us a letter in the mail. You're not going to get an email on it saying, hey, you know that thing you're going through? Here's what God's trying to teach you. That'd be kind of neat if it happened that way. But he doesn't always alert us. Hey, next week, look out. Adversity's coming your way. All right? But the thing is, Satan can't do anything in our lives without God allowing it as his child. God's in control, and he has the purposes behind it. We may not know what's going on, but God does. And so we might look at it as God, like, controlling the floodgates. And if you've been to some big dam, there's usually some gates somewhere down below or whatever that can be raised or lowered to regulate the amount of water going through. And the thing is, God has the power to either open the gates or to shut the gates, to adjust them somehow to accomplish his purposes. God is, he's the one in control. He knows what he's doing. And, you know, I look at Canada. I look at Trudeau and what in the world, you know, is this guy doing? Who does he think he is anyway? I never really wanted to go to Canada anyway. Every time I've went there, everything costs more. Don't understand some of the people, the language, you know. But you go through Quebec or something. I'll stop there. Well, it makes our president kind of look better. In comparison, it may come to that, you know, but they're not beating people in the streets yet, okay? All right? It's kind of like they say Jimmy Carter's the happiest guy in the country because he's not the worst president anymore, you know? But, okay, that's enough. I'll stop. But, here's what I'm getting at, all right? We need to see that. Lots of times we look at people and we say, that person is my problem. Okay? But we need to realize that there are oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes there's somebody else behind them pulling the strings that causes them to act the way they do. An example, okay? And I'm using this current day stuff. I'll try to behave myself here and read what I wrote down here. But you've seen it on TV, the truckers in Canada, they're blocking the bridges. And I realize they got the bridge open now. They're surrounding Parliament, and they're clearing that all out. But the police come out to break up the traffic jam. It wasn't that the police decided one day, hey, today's the day. We're going to go out there, and we're going to break this thing up and tell everybody to go home. No, somebody else told the police to do that. Who might that be? I don't know who it is. But, you know, there's a lot of people very powerful in right around that Detroit area and just over the bridge where all these automaker plants are at. That's bread and butter for both sides of the river, okay, or the bridge. And it could be CEO from Ford calling up the politician. Maybe it's Trudeau or somebody else saying, hey, remember all that money we've been sending you to get you elected the last time? And you're going to be running again, and you need some money. And so if you want us to keep giving to your campaign, then you better do something about us, because it's costing us millions of dollars every day because our lines are shut down. And so somebody behind the curtain, remember that old movie, The Wizard of Oz? And they got the old guy behind the curtain, you know? And he's the one that's talking in a funny voice, and everybody's quaking in their boots. That can be how adversity works, too. We need to realize that we're not just dealing with flesh and blood. We're dealing with principalities and powers. Principalities and powers can be manipulating people to do what they want them to do. Okay? And it's beyond our pay grade to deal with that. And so that's why we need to call on the Lord for help, for to send in some reinforcements. And we best have our armor on, as it talks about here in Ephesians 6. In most cases, around people around us, again, sometimes we can view people as problems, but they're responding to some power, some pressure that is put on them to act or to do a certain thing. And just like you're at work, you know, your supervisor comes around and starts fussing at you, yelling or whatever. And it wasn't just that he got out of bed on the wrong side. No, it's somebody up in the upper office that's saying, hey, production's not happening here. You're falling behind. Get with it, you know. And so they're putting the pressure on that. But there's unseen powers, again, that we're dealing with. And often people say or do things because somebody else is putting a squeeze on them to make something happen. And so we need to realize that, okay? And that's why when we're facing adversity, we need to realize that we're dealing with problems that are bigger and power than we can handle ourselves. And it's hard to fight things that you can see. And it makes it really hard to fight against things that you can't see. All right? And that's why we need strength and power and wisdom and follow orders from headquarters, our commander-in-chief, the Lord himself. And so it's with this kind of background and adversity, we see God has purposes behind all this. And he has purposes for adversity to help us to have evidence that we're in a spiritual war. And if we don't recognize that, again, we're oftentimes overwhelmed and discouraged and tempted to give up. And so we need to be able to recognize spiritual warfare when it's taking place. We need to be alert to this. We mentioned this before, but let's look at it a little bit closer here. We're talking about those three things that can help us to identify spiritual warfare. And one of those was that of confusion, suspicion, and division. And as we look at the scriptures, and I'm not going to have you turn there now, because I think most of you are familiar with what was going on there in Genesis 3. There in the Garden of Eden, there was spiritual warfare going on. And Satan is trying to bring confusion into this. He's talking to Eve, and he's trying to persuade her that, you know, God's not being fair with you. God's holding out on you. He's not got your best interest at heart. He doesn't want you to be as smart as he is. You know, that's why he doesn't want you to partake of this tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so he puts suspicion there on God, gets us to kind of doubt God. And he can still do the same thing for us today. And that brings about division between God and man. And we see here again, thousands of years later, Satan's still using the same tricks that he's had a whole lot of practice in between the Garden of Eden, and now he's perfected them. He's better at it. And so when adversity strikes, realize if there's some confusion taking place, there's some suspicion going on here, and there's some division. Folks, you're in a spiritual war. And so it's too big for us. We need the Lord's help. We need to realize we need to call upon the Lord and to help equip us for battle. Paul told this to Timothy. It was in his day. And he says, Timothy, you need to get ready for a battle. You need to be strong. You need to be courageous. Maybe you want to hold your place here in Ephesians. Look with me to 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. Verses 1 to 5, and he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard among me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." So there's our marching orders, to pass on the truths that we've learned about the Lord to other people. And then he says, verse 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness." Why do you have to endure hardness? Because it's going to be a hard job. Not everybody's going to welcome you with open arms and a hug for telling them that they're a sinner and that they need to trust Christ for salvation, or they may end up in the pits of hell. Okay? And he says, be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Again, it's a war, folks. We're a soldier. No man that warreth entangleth himself with affairs of this life. In other words, we get so involved in life and living that the Lord's business sometimes kind of gets set on the shelf. We're entangled with all kinds of stuff that really eternally doesn't amount to much. Okay? He says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with affairs of this life. Okay? A soldier, in most cases, is not allowed to have a second job somewhere else because he's split in his loyalty and his time and energies. He says that he might please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If any man strive for masteries, yet he's not crowned except he strive lawfully or is obedient. So, and then again, we're told in Ephesians 6 to prepare for battle so that we won't be overcome. Put on the whole armor. Again, why do we need God's armor? Because we're going to be attacked. Okay? There's incoming. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, other people, but powers and principalities in this spiritual warfare. And so, as we see here in Ephesians chapter 6, we see that the armor is needed to fight Satan and his hosts. Okay? We're not always doing battle with Satan. Let's be honest. We're probably some of his underlings way down the list somewhere are dealing with us. He's using his power on somebody else. But the thing is, in the days before the Lord comes back, which I believe that we're in right now, okay, that Satan is working hard. He doesn't know the time in which the Lord's coming back, but he knows his time's short. And if you look at Scripture, you find a lot of indications of what's going on in this world, that those are the things that happen before the Lord comes back. And so he's working hard. He's doing his best to wear down the saints. He's trying to wear down God's children. He wants us to just kind of throw in the towel and quit. You know, spend your life on the couch or the easy chair. Just give up. It's not worth the effort. And yet, the Lord remains faithful and true to us. We need to put the Lord first in our lives. And He's ultimately going to win the battle. We know how the battle's going to turn out. God's going to win. Okay? But there's a battle in between. Kind of like the Israelites. They were going to get the promised land, but they had to fight for that land. God didn't just give it to them. The other people packed up and left and gave it to them. And the thing is, if he can get the Christians down and discouraged and defeated, and win over the victories in the Christian's life, those who've never trusted Christ are really going to be easy prey for him because they have no help at all. And so Satan is fighting hard to control those that are under his control. And the unsaved, in most cases, don't know that they're being controlled by Satan. Thing is, you're either controlled by God or you're controlled by Satan. There's no in-between, okay? And there's no crossover here. But he's doing all that he can to keep people from being interested in God's Word and desiring to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ or how to receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life. It's, you do your thing, I'll do mine, you know. He wants to blanket discouragement over believers so that we're no longer the salt and light that God wants us to be. We no longer witness to the lost, okay? And a good indication of that is ask yourself, when's the last time you talked to somebody about the Lord? Now, maybe it was this morning. I don't know. But oftentimes, you know, we know it's something we're supposed to do, but, you know, we're kind of counting on somebody else doing it. And we're not in the fight ourselves. But again, 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." And so we see, here's the adversary. He may, sometimes again, we may look at other people or circumstances, situations as, that's my enemy, but wrong. The enemy is Satan. He may work through some of those people, but ultimately God is more powerful than Satan. And he can keep him in line, keep him from doing evil work. And he's there to help us to do battle. And yet we have to do our part. We need to get the armor on. We need to open up the Bible to read it. We need to take time to pray, you know, not just for me, myself, and I, me and my family and my needs. It's other people, people all around the world, you know, people in Ukraine, people in Russia. There are believers in Russia and Ukraine that are going to suffer from all of this. When they're shooting shells in, you know, they don't just hit the unbelievers or the communists or whatever, okay? It takes believers out too. And until the Lord comes back, he's going to continue to care for us through this life. And we need to keep our focus of attention on him. It doesn't mean we're blind to what's going on. We need to know what's going on. But let's don't make wrong decisions as to where we're getting our help from. The psalmist says in Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord that made heaven and earth." And so the Lord wants to come to our aid. He wants to help us out. He's going to give us what we need. Okay? I don't know what our country's sending in to help out Ukraine. Last time they had a problem like that, the president and vice president, they sent in MREs and blankets. Well, I'm sorry, that doesn't do much for war, okay? They need more than that. God's going to give us what we need. And he brings, when we face adversity, spiritual warfare, again, it's real, folks. It's not science fiction. It's not make-believe. And he will help us. As the psalmist says again in 46:1, that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. How about, do you need to cry out to the Lord today? Do you need to trust Christ as your personal Savior today? He wants to make you one of his children. And if you become one of his children, he's going to take care of you through this life and on through eternity. But that's something, a decision only you can make. Nobody else can make it for you. Would you pray today, if you've not already done so, and call out to the Lord and ask Christ to be your Savior? to forgive your sins and to give you that gift of eternal life. Folks, your life will never be the same from that point on. It only gets better. Folks, the best is yet ahead. Now, in this life, we don't know what's going to happen today or tomorrow or the next day. But that's not the end. This is just kind of like a speed bump on the way to eternity. All right? And let me just share this with you here. And it talks about preparation. Okay? We need to be prepared. Because the preparations we make now will hold us in good stead later on. That's why I sent email to you folks here. I don't know if you read that or not. Just some ideas, some things that you might do to be prepared for the days ahead. You know, if the electric grid goes down or the water supply isn't there. I'm not trying to be an alarmist, but this was kind of on other sources, but now they're even talking about this on the television for the news, okay? If we put sanctions on Russia, we make them hurt, guess what? They're going to make us hurt back. And one of the things they can do is cyber attacks. You know, everything today runs on computers. If they mess that up, you may not be able to turn on the lights. You know, when the lights don't go on, your furnace doesn't go on. And there's no coffee. You can chew on the beans. That might give you a buzz for a little while, but you're going to be, it won't make you warm, all right? And just some things to think about, but preparation. National Geographic ran an article about the Alaskan bull moose, okay? The males of the species battle for dominance during the fall breeding season, literally going head-to-head with antlers crashing together as they collide. Often the antlers are their only weapon are broken. That ensures defeat. The heftiest moose, the largest, the strongest antler triumphs. Therefore, the battle fought in the fall is really won during the summer, the preparation time. When the moose eats continually to go bigger and stronger, and the one that consumes the best diet for growing antlers and gaining weight will be the heavyweight in the fight. And those that eat inadequately will support weaker antlers and have less bulk. The lesson here, spiritual battles await. Satan is going to choose a season that works for him. You know, and we'll probably be surprised by it. And that's why he's saying, hey, if you know we're in a war, you're going to be a little more alert than if you thought everything was fine and dandy. And so we need to be alert. And we can be victorious or we can fizzle and fail. And a lot of it depends on how we prepared. You know, it's kind of, well, whether everything that everybody has got was COVID or not, I don't know. You know, we used to have the flu people got sick and died from, all right? But, you know, if you wait until you're making many trips up and down the hall, you know, to start taking your vitamins and all the rest of this stuff, it's too little too late. You need to build up the immune system before the stuff hits, okay? And so this is what we need to prepare ourselves. We need to hide, it's like what we're talking about on Wednesday night, hiding God's word in our hearts. Get it in our minds. We're thinking about it. And the Holy Spirit's using it in our lives. And it's kind of that, is a bull moose principle. Enduring faith, strength, wisdom are best able to be used if we prepare ahead of time for it. Prepare for the battle. Folks, we didn't like what happened in 2020. We didn't necessarily like what happened in 21. We may not like what happens in 2022. I'm not being a doom and gloom. I'm just saying we need to be prepared. Need to be ready. Don't be caught surprised. Don't be unprepared. Because we don't know what's coming. But we ought to be thinking about it. You know? Don't wait till, you know, some of you already had that. To your feet hit the floor in the morning and it's 55 degrees in the house, you know. the furnace is not quit. And it's not a matter of going out and turning the dial up anymore. It doesn't work. Okay? How are you going to cook? Well, you can eat cold stuff for a while, but when the fridge isn't working, that doesn't work out so well either. It's kind of nice to have something warm. Well, what do you got to warm it up with? Prepare. Got a little extra water? What happens if the water's no good? You know? And you say, oh, that's never going to happen around here. You remember Texas a couple years ago when all their windmills, their their bird killer windmills that froze up and didn't work? They didn't have any power for days. People were hungry and cold. You know, it can happen here. And it's bet you can always eat the extra food, okay? And, you know, that butane tank's not going to go anywhere. You can still use it, burn your barbecue in the summer with it or whatever. But think about it, okay? But the main thing here is the spiritual side of things, preparing. Get our hearts and minds. Are we tuned into the Lord? You know, or are we just kind of carrying Him around as the spare tire? You know, the emergency safety kit. When all else fails, pull the ripcord here, you know. God wants to be an integral part of our days. Not just on Sunday morning, but the whole week long. And trust that that might be a reality for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. We don't deserve your goodness and your grace, but we're thankful that you still demonstrate it towards us. We don't know what in the world's going to happen in this world. We never thought anything like it could happen back in 2020. You know, who ever heard of locking things down and kids not being able to go to school and all kinds of stuff like that. Businesses closed up. And, you know, it's just, it's like a bad dream. And yet it always seems like there's something more coming down the road. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us not to be overcome by circumstances or even people, you know, that we look at them and say, boy, if we just get rid of this guy, our problems will be solved. There's a whole lot more to it than that. But Lord, we pray that we might look to you. You're the author and finisher of our faith. You're the ones that's promised to be there for us, to help us every step of the way, every day of our lives. Help us to trust you as our, trust Christ as our Savior, and be looking forward to how you're going to meet our needs. Help us to do our part. Help us to get our armor on. Help us to be getting our hearts and minds ready. So that we're not taken by surprise. We do pray you'll continue to strengthen those not feeling well today. Think of little Tyler and for Mike today. You'll continue to strengthen them. And we'll thank you for your goodness now. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like for us to sing a closing song, 484. Okay, we were in Sunday school. You didn't hear too much about that today, did you? Okay, but in Sunday school, Moses, they turned their back on God, and they made themselves a little golden calf to worship instead of the true God. And Moses really kind of, we didn't hear a red line in the sand, but he said, "Who's on the Lord's side? Come on over here." Okay? And that song we're singing about today, "Who's on the Lord's side?" I already forgot the page number. 484. And, you know, he's still wondering that today. God knows which side of the fence you're on. Make sure you're on the women's side, being on his side. 484, stand, and we'll sing this together. Thank you.
either have a real good grip on that thing or be ready to let it go. Okay? Yeah, because it might send you scooting where you don't want to go. All right, Lord bless you. Thanks for coming today. Have a great day. Enjoy the sunshine.
Yeah.